When is a deadline not a deadline when you're in Washington?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The so-called super committee that's been charged with finding big deficit cuts has to do it by Thanksgiving. That's less than 2 weeks away. But as Marketplace's David Gura reports, a lot of folks are taking that deadline with a grain of salt.
The question really is whether the supercommittee's deadline is a deadline at all. Some lawmakers have asked if it could get more time to come up with a plan. Others want to change the very law that created this whole thing, nullifying hundreds of billions of dollars of automatic cuts. Amid all that, it's hard to be optimistic. Jim Kessler of Third Way, a centrist think tank, still holds out hope.
There might be a bit of a focusing of the mind in Congress in which members are saying, we need to get something done because we are so unpopular right now that I can only count on my second cousin voting for me, and that's about it.
In Washington, the deadline might not be as hard and fast as it was at the beginning. Erskine Bowles, who co-chaired President Obama's deficit commission, told the supercommittee there's growing concern outside the Capitol about what'll happen if there is no deal.
I'm worried you're going to fail. Fail the country.
Jim Kessler of Third Way paints a picture of what failure could look like.
There is, I believe, a certainty that this nation's credit rating will be downgraded by the remaining credit rating agencies, and I think that's a disaster for this country.
Former Senator Alan Simpson, who worked alongside Erskine Bowles, says this wouldn't just be a disaster for big government.
The interest rates will go up, inflation will go up by the failure, and guess who gets hurt? The little guy.
And besides all that, any cuts wouldn't take effect until 2013, which is after a new Congress is elected. And that Congress, obviously, has the power to rewrite laws, including this one. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The Dow is up 2.25%, 264 points at 12,158. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 each up about 2% at the moment. The latest consumer confidence report from the University of Michigan and Thomson Reuters said Americans have been feeling better about the nation's economy in November. Enough, anyway, to want to spend some money just in time for the holidays. President Obama's in Hawaii this weekend to host a meeting of APEC. That's the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, which could lead to some sort of free trade deal with the U.S. and other Pacific Rim countries on board. European markets closed higher today with a new interim government in Greece and prospects of a new government in Italy. The French government said today it wants an investigation. Officials allege their ratings agency Standard & Poor's sent out a false downgrade notice on France's debt, spooking investors. From Paris, here's the BBC's Christian Fraser.
Some weeks ago, the credit rating agency, Moody's, put France under observation, a warning that unless there were sizable reforms, France would lose its pristine AAA credit rating. In response, Paris passed a pair of major budget cuts, slashing $100 billion in spending. The French thought that was enough to satisfy the markets. But then, yesterday, the rating agency Standard & Poor's announced a downgrade. Investors were spooked. The announcement made them think that French debt was a riskier bet. But it wasn't. S&P immediately backtracked, saying the announcement was a technical error. The firm apologised. Economist Graham Turner of GFC Economics says the French already had unofficial worries about the agencies. This mistake will turn that into an official investigation.
It gives the European Commission all the political cover it probably would want to actually justify their actions.
President Sarkozy has long supported plans to curb the influence of ratings agencies. He's already advocated for European proposals that would set up government-backed rival bond raters. In Paris, I'm the BBC's Christian Fraser for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By Constant Contact, in support of Small Business Saturday and small businesses every day of the week. Learn more at constantcontact.com/Saturday. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
There's a big fight slated for tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Manny Pacquiao will take to the ring against Juan Manuel Marquez for boxing's welterweight championship. The Vegas economy, of course, has struggled over the last few years. And this boxing match, and particularly Pacquiao's popularity, could mean a lot of money for the Desert Oasis. Rafael Tenorio is an expert in boxing economics. He's professor at DePaul University, and he joins us now from Chicago. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
How much does a fight like this bring into the Vegas economy? I mean, the local economy.
Millions and millions. I mean, you have a Filipino and a Mexican fighting each other, and these are some of the most loyal fans in the world. Some of these guys have been in Vegas for a week or several days, so we're talking, you know, millions and millions on top of the fight revenues themselves.
Yeah, and this isn't just ticket sales, right? I mean, they're going there to stay at hotels and buy dinner and maybe not even go to the fight.
We're talking all of the money spent on hotels, all the money, you know, spent on dining, and a huge chunk on gambling as well.
Why is Manny Pacquiao the cash cow these days?
Because he's kind of like a little bit atypical compared to some superstars. He's a very humble man. He is a congressman back in the Philippines. And he's just what we would call a throwback fighter, an all-time fighter.
So a lot of folks are gonna spend a lot of money to watch him fight.
Exactly.
I know Las Vegas has been on hard times for quite a few years now. I mean, is this a saving grace for it?
These big fights don't come by every day, you know, or every week or even every month. But, you know, Vegas is a constant, and it's the biggest city that offers these big fights on a consistent basis.
Rafael Tenorio, professor of economics at DePaul University. Rafael, thank you.
My pleasure.
And finally, there are hundreds, thousands of different kinds of beers. And Budweiser wants to add one more, a brew that's sweeter than others and contains more alcohol. Anheuser-Busch will be marketing the enhanced brew as an upscale option. The Bud Light brand will be called Platinum when it goes on sale early next year. So, all right, let's see. A sweeter beer with more alcohol. What are they going to think of next? A wine cooler? Check us out online at marketplace.org. Get the podcast while you're there. Share your thoughts and check the numbers, too, throughout the day. Anytime at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You want to know why the European Union works such as it does? Think about France and Germany and World War II.
You have two countries that want to find some way to commit to each other that they're never going to go to war against each other again. What better way than to combine your coal and steel industries?
I'm Kai Rizdal. The European debt crisis, how the past determines the now. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.